Also, we have Shirley back with us. We've prayed a lot for you, Shirley, and we're glad you're back here. Well, today is our Thanksgiving week. We celebrate on Thursday Thanksgiving, and it's a wonderful time of year where we turn our hearts and minds to God. Our families are more receptive to visiting and talking about that just because of the events at hand. And I would encourage each one of y'all, as you meet with your families, to talk about it. I was at a funeral yesterday, and I'm always reminded when I go to a funeral whether the person was knowingly saved or whether they didn't know. The one I was at yesterday, the lady was knowingly saved, and it was a glorious time. I mean, there was a celebration, as the pastor said, there was a celebration of life and life eternal. And if we don't have anything else to be thankful for, there it is right there. Amen. Life eternal. You know, we're all aware of the pilgrims and starting Thanksgiving because the Indians helped them and the things that went on in our country for Thanksgiving that they stopped and thanked God that God seen them through the winter, and it's been a tradition carried on, and we need to be careful not to make it just a tradition, but to stop and give thanks, to wait on whatever the festivities are and understand why we came together. It's not just the meal, and it's not just for the football game. It's to stop and give thanks to God. Not only the things that He's given us, but the things that He will give us. In the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, there was a Thanksgiving offering. It was a voluntary offering, and they were encouraged to, whenever they wanted to give it, to give it. It's what we would call our free will offering. And we're going to study a little bit about that offering, and then see some of the things that the offerings and then the feasts that were done in the Old Testament. So after we pray, Leviticus chapter 7. Lord, thank you again for this day and for all those who've come to hear your word. Father, I pray that your spirit would be here among us, that he would teach us. Lord, that the reading of your word would fall on fertile ground. Lord, that we understand that people come to your house on a weekly basis, Lord, and there's some that come in here today that aren't saved. Father, I pray that something said or something done, Lord, would show them the need and that they would be convicted. Father, I pray again for Dr. Henderson, Lord, as he brings your message today, and Lord, that something would be said to just convict hearts, Lord, that they would have the courage to step out and Lord, to seal their eternity, Lord, in you. Father, again, thank you for all your many blessings, Lord, not for just this time that we would pause and stop, but that we'll be always thankful for the things that you've given us. Lord, help us to be ever mindful of that, and in Christ's name, amen. Leviticus chapter 7 was a Thanksgiving offering. Moses here is laying out all the offerings that were done, and chapter 7 and verse 11 says, "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil, and a fine flour fried." Boy, doesn't that sound great? That's a pretty good menu right there. When we stop and think of the offering that's done. Now, this offering was done with God and the high priest and with the ones who were sanctified and could take that offering. They were able to partake in it. But it was for dual intent, okay? And I said this just a second ago. The dual intent was to thank God for all that He had given them. But also to have that faith and thankfulness of what He was going to continue to do for them. You know, Jesus Christ created this world, but He also sustains it. He keeps it spinning and doing all the things that it does to sustain life here. So it's a continual process. And here, the thankfulness is the same way. They wanted to thank God for what He had done, but to be ever mindful of the things that He would continue to do. They built altars out of stone or whatever the natural resources were for the time. But I thought something interesting about altars was Mizbeach is the name. It literally means a place of slaughter. Now, when you come to this altar, it should be a place of slaughter. Those things that are burdening your heart, the things that have got you just pulled down, should be slaughtered right here. You know, a lot of times we come down here and we pray and we ask God to do all these things for us, and then we get up and just slip a hand back down and grab some of it and take it back with us, don't we? You know, well, I hate to burden God with that. No, it's a place of slaughter. And we should come and lay our petitions down and never look back at them again. You know, I believe God heals even today, and we're all aware of it. I think we could probably go around the room and people give testimony of what God did for them in a real way, where you could absolutely feel what God did for you and say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that was God. You know, I can explain to you things in my life and you go, wow, what a coincidence. No, that was God. Very evident in my life and again in y'all's, things that we could be thankful for. You know, our family. And family is a wonderful thing. You know, and we've all got those families. You know, don't think you've got this family that, oh man, I don't want them. We've all got those. But we need to be thankful for those. You know, Jesus Christ came and died for them as well as us, all of us good people, you know. Yeah, come on. Yeah, He died for them as well. But we should be ever so thankful for family. I was at this funeral yesterday and the youngest son got up and he said his mom had been sick for the last couple of years. And he said, you know, I really think God brought that into our lives to draw us even closer together. He said, man, nothing was left unsaid and nothing was left undone between the family. He said, Mom knew we loved her and we knew she loved us. I'm going to call the guy. He's a friend of mine. I'm going to call him when they get through with this and just tell him, man, that blessed my heart that he would stand up there and say, you know what, man, this is okay. It's great. You know, and he read some passages of scripture but he was ever thankful for the time that he had. And I thought about it too yesterday. We look for that blessed hope and that glorious reappearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, I've got some friends that were very dear friends of mine that I haven't seen in years. I know one day I'll see them again. I know I will. You know, and sometimes I seen some people yesterday I hadn't seen in 20 years. And I thought about it yesterday. You know what? Jesus Christ went away, but He's going to come back again. Just as sure as I saw those people yesterday, I know that Jesus Christ is coming again. I know I'm going to see Him again. Those people that I haven't seen in 20 or 30 years, I'm going to see them again. If they're in Jesus Christ. That's the big kicker is if you're saved and in Christ, we're going to see all each other again for eternity. Not just a short period of time. The peace offering or thanksgiving offering was again shared with God, the priests, and other worshipers. It was the same thing as the burnt offering up until a point. The burnt offering was totally consumed. There was no benefit out of it other than total being totally consumed. But the thanksgiving offering up until the point of that, then they shared it among themselves there. What they would do is, again, the priest would kill the animal with the person giving the thanksgiving offering with their hands on that animal, and what would happen is they would begin to share in a feast of thanksgiving. the animals that were used were an oxen, a sheep, or a goat. And the priest portion was limited to the breast and the right thigh. I thought that was just kind of, that was given in the law that he could only partake of the breast and the right thigh. The rest of it was open for everyone else. Then they had one feast was to be kept through the law, and that was the feast of the Day of Atonement. I looked, and Mike, I've got your calendar on the icebox, so I looked on your calendar, and it's not his specific calendar, but most of y'all probably have it. Everybody know what Yom Kippur is? Okay, I didn't. Thank you. Yom Kippur is signifying the Day of Atonement, or their celebration in the Jewish celebration. It's the law of Moses only required that they keep one feast, and that feast was the Day of Atonement. What would happen is, and we explained this a couple of months ago, the Day of Atonement would be where the Jews celebrate when Moses came down with the law and found them with the golden calf. He broke the Ten Commandments. They asked him to go back up and talk to God. He went back up, and God forgave them for making the graven images. And that's their Day of Atonement. Now, they celebrate this or do this Day of Atonement once a year, every year. It's been done ever since. But here's the process that they go through. It's where they have the scapegoat. And they take two goats and a bullock. The priest slays the bullock for his sins. They take the one goat, and the priest lays his hands on him for all the sins of Israel. And that goat is slain, picture of Christ. Then they take the other one. The sins are also put onto him, and he's taken out by a fit man out into the wilderness to die. He's left out there. That's picture of their sins. The first one I said was a picture of how bad sin was and how the judgment upon sin was the death of that first goat. But this second goat was taken out into the wilderness, and he was left alone there. I don't know if y'all have ever been around any goats or anything, but when a goat gets into a place where he's confused or disoriented, he begins to bleat, make that noise. Was it you or Kai that raised the... It was Kai that had the goat. Okay. We've raised all kind of animals to show and stuff, and we went and bought my son a very expensive little goat. And we built a really nice little pen for him, and we had kind of a little doghouse type pen out there. We got this goat at like 6 o'clock in the evening. I went out there at 10 to check him. Goat's gone. 4 hours. Gone. $125 goat. Well, I said it was $125 coyote food. Because he got out and was gone. I got in the truck. I drove around everywhere. Couldn't find him at all. I thought, man, he'll never make it through the night. Because the coyotes were running pretty good at that time. And we got up more, and I said, okay, one last look. So I drove around. The neighborhood there is kind of big. So drove around. I found him about 3/4 of a mile from the house, standing with some horses. And I had one shot at him. I roped him, got him in the truck, and we took him back and found out that they have to have a companion goat. They got a companion goat, they'll stay right there. If they don't have one, they're gone. Because of them being, you know, again, disoriented and looking for, searching for something. Get the picture of this goat that's taken out into the wilderness and left there. He begins to look around and bleat, trying to find somebody. There's nothing there. And picture that being that someone placed out away from God. Searching and looking. This is the picture that was painted for the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur commemorates the day that God forgave the Jewish people for the sin of the golden calf. I went to a Jewish website and got this, and I'm reading it just not like it's spelled, because they don't spell God out, you understand that. They just got capital G and then a slash and then D. But it says that 40 days after hearing God at Mount Sinai, he said, "You shall not have any gods of others in my presence. You shall not make yourself a graven image." The Jews committed the cardinal sin of idolatry. Moses spent nearly 3 months on top of the mountain pleading with God for forgiveness. This is off of their website. I'm just reading, okay? I tried to study this out, and I just didn't get where he pleaded. But it was finally granted, in quotes, "I have pardoned you as you have requested." I studied out through Exodus chapter 34, and it gives the account. You understand that Moses went up on the mount. He was up there. God gave him the Ten Commandments. When Moses was in the wilderness, he said, "I want you to go get my people." Now God's up on the mountain. He sees that the people have made the golden image. And he tells Moses, "You better get down there, because thy people have made an image to worship." Moses goes down there, breaks the Ten Commandments, melts down the calf, takes the gold and puts it on the water and makes the children of Israel drink it. They come to him and repent. They said, "Go to God and ask him to be our God." So he goes back up on the mount. He's up there for about 3 months with God. God gives out the Ten Commandments again, and he comes back down. This Jewish site says, "From that moment on, this date, henceforth known as the Day of Atonement, is annually observed as a commemoration of our special relationship with God, a relationship that is strong enough to survive any rocky bumps it might encounter." I will tell you this much. There's a rocky bump called Jesus Christ that it won't encounter. Amen. It will not last if they reject His sacrifice. Y'all can get with me on it, because that's it. This is the day when we connect with the very essence of our being, which remains faithful to God regardless of our outward behavior. I want y'all to understand something. In 70 AD, Rome came in and tore down the temple. From that point until today, there's been no sacrifice. If their Day of Atonement makes atonement for their sins, there hasn't been any. There's no way that that can happen. Matter of fact, Kurt, in 70 AD, Rome commissioned a coin, and the inscription on there says, "Judea is captured." Be careful that they take "In God We Trust" off our money. Just be real careful about that. Rome made a coin that said, "Judea is captured." That was their big goal. Judea is captured. And while in the most solemn day of the year, we are also joyful, confident that God will forgive our sins and seal our verdict for a year of life, health, and happiness. I'll tell you what, if they'll accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they won't get a year, they'll get eternity.
Amen.
They just say, we're going to push our sin debt forward for one more year. And again, they're being thankful that God's going to give them one more year of life, health, and happiness. Man, I'll tell you what, if they'll just believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they can set that up for eternity. Mine's been sealed for a long time. Not just a year. Paul said, "For me to die is gain." For nearly 26 hours, for several minutes before sunset, they afflict their souls. They abstain from food and drink, do not wash or anoint our bodies, do not wear leather footwear, and abstain from spousal intimacy. We are likened to the angels who have no physical needs. Jesus Christ didn't come and die for the angels. He came and died for us.
Amen.
It always bothers me when someone compares us to the angels, because God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. It says, instead of focusing on the physical, we spend much of our day in the synagogue engaged in the repentance and prayer. Prior to this, they have, and I'll go over it in a minute, the preparations. But you understand in today's economy what it's going to be like and someday when they begin to sacrifice the animals again. And you think PETA isn't going to go crazy? Yeah? You know, I mean, they're really going to go after them. But even at that, the economy of today and the workplace and everything, I mean, they can't work for 5 days. Try that at AT&T. You know, do you take your vacation at that time or I don't know. But they begin to afflict their souls. It says, on the day before Yom Kippur, they eat and drink in abundance because they're not going to do it the next several hours. Kind of beats the purpose, I would think. Stock up so you don't have to. Two festive meals are eaten, one early in the day and one just prior to the onset of Yom Kippur. Some of the other day's observances include requesting and receiving honey cake when you're fasting. You can request it and they'll give you something to eat. In acknowledgement that we are all recipients of God's world and in prayerful hope for a sweet year. Begging forgiveness from anyone who we may have wronged during the past year. Bible tells us not to let the sun set, not the year. They hold 5 prayer services throughout the week. The final one, the 5th prayer, the gates of heaven, which were opened all day, will now be closed with us on the inside. However they came up with that, they'll be on the inside. It says, during this prayer, we have the ability to access the most essential level of our soul. When I go to prayer, and I'm my own priest now because of what Jesus Christ did when He rent that veil, I go and talk to the Creator of the universe. I don't know what level that is with them, but I can get right to the throne because of my access through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At the closing of it, the service climaxes with the resounding cries of, "Hear, O Israel, God is one." I understand that. I'm not sure that they do. Because without Jesus Christ coming, the Son, dying for my sins and rising again and going to heaven and sending the Holy Spirit down, that's where I get the triune God. I understand that God is one. And I understand that they're looking for the Messiah, but they missed Him. They missed Him in graphic detail. They missed Him. Over the next 6 weeks, as we approach the Christmas time, I hope the Scriptures will show us that the time and the place and who all specifically points that there could only be one fulfill all the Scriptures, and that was Jesus Christ. That there's no other way. There's nobody else that fills that bill. No way it could be anyone other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not only did this Yom Kippur, when they begin to do the Day of Atonement, the book of Hosea, and you don't have to turn there, but I just want to read to you that Hosea said in chapter 3 and verse 4, he says, "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without a tephron." They're going to be without sacrifice. What happens now? My penalty debt has been settled once and for all. Book of Hebrews says that He died once for our sins, for eternity. Look in Hebrews chapter 9. chapter 9 and verse 23 says, "It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." You want to bless the pumpkin pie on Thursday? Thank God for that right there. Just look back and say, thank God that He appeared in the presence of God for us. "Nor yet that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must He often have suffered since the foundations of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, you want to give thanks for the God seeing the pilgrims through the first hard winters and the things of that. That's wonderful. That allowed us, you know, to continue on in America for a short time. It'll be a short time, but for eternity, Jesus Christ paid our sin debt. Now we're finding something to be thankful about, huh? We can be thankful about our family. For the most part, most of our health. I know some of us have health issues, and we just pray to God that we can deal with it, or He'll take it away, or whatever it is that God has planned. I thank God for my church family. This is who I hang out with. I really don't have friends that I hang out with outside of you guys. I enjoyed the fellowship. And I had a blast Thursday. Wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
We just worked like a little Trojan. It was fun. We got to eat pretty good. But our church family. Then you get in the hospital or have family problems or whatever, and you call on that church family. You realize when we stand up in here and say, pray for me or pray for some distance, your church family does that. Can you imagine somebody loving you enough to go before the Creator of the universe and say, "Hey, Lori's sons are really in need," and God hears that?
Amen.
How good does that make you feel? You know, we pray for Miss Lassiter. She's here today. You know what? She's thankful. She thanked her church family. She's already thanked God. But how great is it to have a church family that, again, I'll tell you, there's people that come in this class that probably wouldn't say six words that'll raise their hand and say, "Pray for me," or "Pray for this instance." Because they understand this is church family. Man, we're all in this together, and we're going to pray for each other. And again, go before God of the universe. But I think if nothing else, the hope of our salvation through Jesus Christ, how thankful can we be?
Amen.
Sometimes I don't think we have the gravity of it. You know, we look through some of the scriptures and we go, "Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, you know." But until it becomes personal to you, and until it really grips a hold of your heart, you know, I've told y'all before, I've had people come to me and say, "Man, I want what you got. You know, I see you, I watch you, I want what you got." And I say, praise the Lord. You know, find that in me. I hope. I was at the national finals one time, and it was the first night or so, and I come around a blind corner. There was a wall there at the Coliseum, and I just kind of ran into a lady. And, you know, excuse me, went on, and she went on. That was it. That was a total exchange. On Sunday, they had a little church service there, and I went to it. Lady come up to me after, and she said, "You don't know who I am, but I ran into you on Friday night." I said, "Yeah, I kind of remember that." She said, "I just want you to know Christ was beaming out of you." I said, "Really? I didn't know. Sorry. No, that made me feel great that was present. It's not always beaming out of me. It always really bothers me when somebody goes, well, I didn't know you was a Christian. Don't that hurt? Don't that hurt? Well, I didn't know. You go to church? I didn't know that. Man, what have I been showing them? Yeah, yeah. But to thank God for our salvation. Look in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and Paul says here in verse 20, he says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he had what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Boy, there's something you can stand on. God may have promised it, but he's also able to perform that. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I always have that stipulation, not me, but the Lord. If you're in Christ Jesus, all these promises are yours. If you're not, then I hope that you diligently seek that you would seek what we have, that eternal assurance. Look in Philippians. This is kind of where I got started at and ended up in the Old Testament, so we're back around full circle. Philippians chapter 4. I'll be there when I find it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I'll tell you that we have access through our Lord and Jesus, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the throne of God. You ever do that picture in your mind, where you're standing, where you're able to have that access? I used this example before. Y'all remember the lady that just pursued President Bush? Just dogged him about her son, and she was always down there at Crawford, and she wanted to talk to him, and he just didn't find it to talk to her. She didn't have any access. She didn't have access to the most powerful man in the world. The media, the popular vote, whatever, had her wanting to get to talk to the president, but she didn't have access. There was always someone there stopping her. If you're in Christ Jesus, you have access to the throne of God. Amen. How powerful is that? You got a problem bigger than that? No. I mean, do you? Stan, come on. There's no problem bigger than what you can go and petition to God. He says in verse 7, he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. What else you need? What else do you need but the peace of whatever you're going through at the time? God gives you that peace. Verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. If we think on those things, we won't dwell on the negatives. We just won't. We need to spend our time doing positive things, not negative things.
Amen.
You know, one day we're going to stand and give an account of what we did. You know, did you spend your time doing negative things, or did you spend your time doing positive things? Did you spend your time doing the things that last for eternity? That's where I'm at today. I want to try and get some stuff done for eternity. This world is fleeting fast. Very, very fast. He says in verse 9, he says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Paul says nothing changes from this point forward. I'm content if God has me in that position. We talked about the scapegoat here a little bit ago. They used to take the scapegoat out in the wilderness when they were in the tabernacle in the wilderness. They would have a fit man take him out. When they got to the temple in Jerusalem, they got to where they wouldn't take him out into the wilderness. They'd just take him over to the edge of the cliff and shove him off. Well, there he is right there. You know, that's not how it works in Christ Jesus. He says in verse 12, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. For I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And you don't need another verse than that right there. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Look in Ephesians right quick, and we'll end on this. Chapter 5. Paul says here to the church at Ephesus, he says, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, he says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says, giving thanks always. If you're truly in the will of God, it doesn't matter where God takes you. You thank Him for where you're at. Some things that I thought in my mind befell me, I still thank God. Thank you, God. I don't understand this right now, but thank you. And then try and open your eyes to learn something out of this. Maybe you put yourself in that position and you go, "Well, I don't want to be here again. What is it that got me to this point?" But Paul says, giving thanks always. And I think at this time of the year, when it's evident to us, we come together as a family. We'll see family members we haven't seen in a while and get to sit and visit. Make sure God's one of the topics. And make sure that Jesus Christ comes out in part of the festivities. Who we're thanking and why we're thanking Him. You know, not for just the things that He's done, but for the things that He's going to do. And my prayer is, God, thank You for not giving me the things I deserve.
Amen.
That's my prayer. Thank You for not giving me what I've earned. And thank You for giving me the things which I don't deserve. And again, I would tell you that if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you're without that hope. There's no animal sacrifice. There's no placing sins on an animal that'll remove your sins. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, today would be the best day to get that assurance, and that you could have that, not for a year, but for eternity. Let's pray. Lord, thank You again for Your Word. Father, I thank You for the time that we could come. I pray, Lord, that if there be one here today, Lord, that they'd just be convicted, Lord, beyond measure. And Father, that they would step forward and say, I want to make sure. I want to have the heart knowledge, Lord, and not just the head knowledge. And Father, I pray for Dr. Henderson now. Lord, you've given your word to him. Father, I pray that through him you would speak to us even more. Father, touch our hearts. Lord, help us to be ever thankful, Lord, for all you've done for us. Lord, but mostly for your Son, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. Lord, thank you for our church family. Lord, thank you for our pastor. And Lord, just all the many blessings that you've given us. We'll forever give you the honor and praise and glory.